Hump Day Quickie's Swingers Confessions is intended for mature audiences only and contains explicit language and sexual situations. This is not intended as any professional advice. Welcome to Hump Day Quickie's Swinger Confessions. Here in the sex apartment, we share our own sex-positive stories and welcome our friends to open up about their experiences in the ethically non-monogamous lifestyle. Echo and Falcon return to discuss fantasies and pillow talk moments, including Falcon's favorite, hotel sex. Then we delve into the uncomfortable moments of having to use your safe word to get out of situations you are not ready to be in.
And we're back at the sex apartment. The funny thing is, Echo and Falcon, you guys are back again after having to wait a little over a year to hear from you. Because every time we talk, Echo, you're like, oh, we don't have any stories. There's nothing we can talk about. So with that, welcome back, guys.
Good to be here yet again.
Hello. Welcome.
I very much love the way you guys attacked the, what are we going to talk about? And I'd kind of like you to run into that story of the process that you guys started this discussion leading into being able to come in and have this talk again.
We had a pre-writing brainstorm activity that we did to reflect on this. Do you know the like TikTok, Instagram thing that's like, we're married. Of course we. We did that for, we're Echo and Falcon. Of course we. And I would like to share.
I love that. Yes.
With you. We're Echo and Falcon. Of course we have made up our own jargon within lifestyle, like brony and puppy pile and post game.
We're Echo and Falcon. We have to sit close to each other in order to share dinner when we're at our dinner parties.
We're Echo and Falcon. Of course, we have the ultimate goal of converting a vanilla couple while traveling.
We're Echo and Falcon. Of course, we use our Starbucks travel cups at the club. They're economically and environmentally friendly.
We're Echo and Falcon. Of course, we have over 5,000 fantasies and are constantly adding and achieving them. We're Echo and Falcon. Of course, couples in which both people are outgoing really turns us on.
We're Echo and Falcon. There's most likely White Claw in my cup.
And water in mine. That's all.
I love it.
Thank you.
Oh, you don't want the We're Echo and Falcon? We're going to convince you and 8 of your friends to get into a room together?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is true too. I have a question for you. Follow this super cute Instagram sex positive human. She had a thing and asked, do you think there's a difference between a kink and a fetish?
I feel the kink is something that is a path that you are already set on. I look at it as a fetish as more of a fantasy to me. Mm. While the kink is that, yep, that is what I do that. Yes, that's me.
She sees a kink as a fantasy thing, right? Like that, a fun accessory to like try on. I have a spank kink. I don't mind getting spank. Like it's fun. It turns me on. But the fetish, her definition, you need that in order to get off. Like that is ingrained in your sexuality. So one of the things we talked about in our little evolution / our post-game conversations is what, if any, fetishes do you have that you sprinkle into either within the lifestyle or when we are circling back or when it's like us at home? What do you have that is ingrained deep within you that we can support and care for, but also exploit?
I do think that I have a fetish with younger. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about that, I usually look towards younger partners and playmates. So I would say that that definitely is one of my, what is it, the fetish? Mm-hmm. But for me, a kink is, see, I go back to, I love hotel sex. It's like one of those things that if I have a choice, that's the choice I'm taking. I would say that that's probably my kink because it doesn't have to be there, but it definitely helps.
Do you remember one time when we went and had a concert and then had awesome hotel sex? It's still like easily one of Falcon's top five.
Yes, moments. It is.
Yeah.
I vividly remember breaking my toe that night.
Oh, no. I didn't know you broke your toe.
Yeah, I kicked a little something sticking out of the sidewalk as we walked to get pizza that night.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
Because I remember.
Way to ruin his fantasy.
Oh, and yet I powered through.
Yeah, you did. I remember.
I'll say, totally I didn't through. Ruin nothing because it was a great night. That's always one of my.
You travel more than most.
Yes.
Has the thought of travel hotel sex entered into your 5,000 fantasies?
Well, I love when she has to go out of town for her job because I tag along and will always, always partake in hotel sex. We have had conversations and I would like actually just thinking out loud right when we first got together, I wrote you a little story about you sneaking in while I was away and us having hotel sex.
You wrote some literatica for me.
Yeah. So yes. I think that one's back on the list now that I'm just sitting here thinking about it openly. But that definitely has been in the list, just not bubbled up yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The opportunity hasn't arose.
Yes.
I was actually referencing while you are time zones away, happen to be at the bar and an opportunity arises. Is that something you guys have discussed?
We have had conversations about that. It's something that's out there and I am certain that, you know, you could run into pineapple life anywhere, right? So it has been something that's been discussed.
So the barrier to that right now is we really like and respect the boundary that is we start together.
Yes.
And you can't do that if he is time zones away with a human, and that we circle back. One boundary that I have started leaning heavily on with that is that that circle back needs to be more timely than it sometimes is, because that matters, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, it totally matters.
And the other piece to that is the idea of the gift that is being given, because ultimately our why is it's to enhance our bed. So if you are going to play with another, then me being able to give you that gift, that is an important transaction that happens. And that can't happen if he's traveling.
Right.
That being said, we absolutely encourage the flirt game being on point and the going back to that hotel room, like empty-handed, but with the fantasy of like what could have been. And the we have definitely worked through and talked through like, then what would you have done with her? And then what would have looked like? Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then you would. And then so it is like taking place in like pillow talk for us. And it's been awesome fodder for us. The thought of that isn't there yet.
No.
And where have your fetishes and kinks fallen?
Consensual non-consent. Yeah. And honestly, if it is a fetish, it is fetish light, but so much of like the finishing happens when it comes to the thought of being woken up to, wait, what are you doing? You shouldn't be doing that. Why are you in my room? You shouldn't be here. Shush. This is supposed to hurt a little, right? Like, oh, I love it. I love a good fantasy. What about you?
I am still heavily in the multiple partners for Nessa fan base. Desperately hoping one day we can put that together.
What always surprises me about G is that none of his fetishes, kinks, fantasies, anything actually involve him. They all involve his partner.
Just being in the room where it happens.
Where it happens. I find that to be strange.
I do find that to be a very unique perspective of you. I would agree with that. Because in every conversation that we've had, it's not you, especially for me, because I am so self-centered. It's, let's all just be real here because the four of us know and love each other. But it's you are not that way. You've never been that way.
I've done everything that I've wanted to do. So now it's the let's see that next level.
Yeah.
Because there aren't a lot of next levels that you can only be with so many women at one time. It becomes inefficient at that point.
Yeah.
The idea of seeing things that I've watched in porn, but never actually seen in real life with my favorite porn star doing them become that, okay, that's that next high that I'm chasing.
If you need me to act like a disgruntled wife to throw toast on the ground or to watch toast being thrown and to get angry and walk away so you can come out with like the hot red bikini or bathing suit, like I got you, girl. Okay.
Put you down.
I love toast porn.
I love toast porn too. That's the fave.
Me?
Sure.
Looking at me? I mean, definitely some form of control would be a fetish, I suppose.
Giving up or having?
Giving up, but in a pleasureful way, not in a painful or uncomfortable way. Kink. I'm always surprised at the things that I find or that I have found that I have been really into when I'm in the moment. Mm. Because then when I'm not in the moment, like soberish, not like sober drink free, but like sober, no hormones running, nothing, mm-hmm. you know.
The sex haze.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When that's gone, I look back and I'm like, ew, why did I like that? That was so gross. Actually, I was just listening back to one of our episodes about the giving a snowball or receiving a snowball from somebody else. In the moment, I remember it being the sexiest, hottest thing in the world. Talking about it now still turns my... I still think it's disgusting to think about in this moment, but when I'm hot and heavy and in the moment, it's like, that was really fucking hot. So I don't know. I don't like. I feel like kinks come out of nowhere for me.
For sure.
Like all of a sudden, I'm like, "Whoa, I like that. I didn't know I like that." Or I'm always surprised. Or like things that come out of my mouth. The specific comment was, "Save some for me," when I was talking to a female who received her man's cum in her mouth and then shared it with me. So and I like think about. I'm like, "No, I didn't do that. No, that's I would never." And then yeah, I did. But
yeah, you did.
Something about being in the moment, feeling the vibe and just feeling it totally and just, I don't know, totally being a part of it, letting yourself go to whatever the experience will be. Mm-hmm. Did you guys still have something about using your safe word or you don't have to if you don't want to. I just,
No.
I think it's a great talking point for a lot of people.
We just felt really bad. Like talking, first off, it is such like a vulnerable space to be in to like share that. But also your podcast is so hot and has all these cool dealy fancy things. And for us to be like, we safe worded, like just feels so like derpy. Like yeah, I just, I
but
feel
in sad. Reality, it's an important thing to talk about because a lot of these stories, people are like, wait, hang on.
Well, the thing
how are
is,
all these things happening?
And, what I love about our podcast is that within the stories are the things you aren't privy to from the outside, right? Like you don't know what happens once people go behind a door and close a door and go into a room. They don't know that guys don't get hard. They don't know that, you know, things aren't working, that we end up laughing half the time. They don't know, like all those things come out in the stories. And that's what I love about the stories that we share, but also that you hear all these other podcasts, all the how to's and everything. They're like, yeah, just have a safe word. Nobody tells them when to use it and what it's like when you use it and the feelings you go through, because that's the important part is that
yeah,
while it's shitty, mm-hmm. it's the, I had to use it and this is what happened. And this was the fallout, like, okay, play stopped or whatever. But then I also left feeling like guilty. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because we haven't been there. And I would love to hear it just for on the premises that just like, you don't hear the story of when it's used. You just hear the, yeah, say yellow, just say red and you're done, you know, mm-hmm. and that's where it ends. But we don't hear the actual real life stories.
Yeah. Let us start by saying that there are two safe word moments that happen like close enough-ish together that it's like, geez Louise, like,
what's happening?
What is going on with us? We went from never having to like two super close together. Let me also say that in both these scenarios, it was an Echo and Falcon issue. It was us not being able to catch a groove. It was us and our partnership, and it had nothing to do with the other people involved at all. In the one scenario, we were at a house party of a couple we've played with Nick and Elizabeth, with other couples that were incredibly attractive. And they, as a huge group, all knew each other and had a good vibe. We fit in really well, and it was a good vibe. We got there, and I had said, and there's a lot of learnings that happen with this, but I was like, I'm not really feeling it. Like going into it, wasn't really feeling it from the get-go. So like pin that note, because we're going to come back to that. So we're there. Falcon, like you were catching vibes. You were doing great. Like you were flirting. You were so awesome. I could not, like, it just was not working for me. Like, I would talk and like, and it just wasn't working. It was an even number, but because someone was really focused on the game, there ended up being like more women to men. And then the women that were like, they had all known each other. And so they had very much like a certain flavor and were like focused, razor sharpened. And if you were focused in this, then like everyone else was out. And it just like, it was their vibe and how they roll. But on top of that, this was a couple months before our evolution talk. And the thought of playing separately like made our bellies hurt. Like, that wasn't something we were ready for, talking to, whatever. So we went into this, we're like, oh my gosh, a bunch of couples. When couples get together and they're all couples who have fucked each other, when they get together, like it's orgy time, right? Wrong. No, like it was, I am talking to someone next to me, and then someone who was talking to him earlier would like grab him by the hand and lead him to a room and they would just start having sex. Everyone seemed like they had an amazing time. I got incredibly uncomfortable. I remember like I looked at Falcon. I was like, listen, I'm out. I cannot catch a groove. Like if you can make something happen, like we absolutely let's try. But like I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
yeah.
Do you want to add anything?
Yeah, no, I have nothing to add.
Okay.
It's exactly. The
okay.
Way.
Well, I want you to keep me honest. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Pin what I said to him because we're going to come back to that too. But then like we got back in and like you couldn't find a way to like close something because of the doors and the whatever, and that like it was weird. And then it was like okay, we're gonna go. And I did not verbally say safe word at that point. It was like I'm out, I'm done. And like we went, and it was, I remember leaving and being like, oh, I can breathe. And I looked over at Falcon and he was so frustrated. We had a really uncomfortable drive home. That frustration stayed at the forefront, and then pride got in the way. And there was like no real opportunity to like talk through all the things. Eventually, like we were able to like get our heads out of our asses and like have a conversation and be like, whoa, like you did nothing wrong here. And I did nothing wrong here. But in the process of like me being in this fight or flight, these people were wonderful. They're wonderful people. And I felt so uncomfortable and ended up in like a weird fight or flight mode where then I started shutting down and like felt weird and was like sitting on the couch, like, okay, I have to get out of here.
Yeah.
But then that like vibe embarrassed Falcon because that's not our vibe and that's not how we roll. But also he was definitely like making headway and then couldn't. And so then like I like fucked that up. Like it was just such a bad, awkward moment. But also one of the things that we really like learned and talked through is this idea of before play. So like the things you do before like foreplay even starts. Mm-hmm. One thing that Falcon shared that is part of his before play, and like he shared it a million times and it really took the million and first time for me to be like, oh, that's what you mean. I got it now. I understand. I will be so much better. Is for me to say something like, hey, I'm not really into it from the get-go, totally rains on his parade. So it's if we're deciding like we're going out tonight, then I have a certain point before that we can have those discussions. But if it's like we are getting ready to like go out, getting cleaned up, hygiene, like that is a time for flirty conversation and for like caresses and for connection. It is not a time for like the, I'm not really feeling it tonight, because that totally puts a wet blanket on whatever vibe he's having and he's thinking through and like as he's getting in his mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that I need to be cognizant of and more respectful of in the future. That fucked things up and that did not feel good.
In the end, all be all, I think that we both came to the conclusion that it was very situational.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
one?
Anything to do with the people. It wasn't anything to do. It's we both put our own heads in our own asses and all of a sudden it just, everything turned sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the timing and because of the situation, it just made matters that much worse.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, it's not a, that's it, we're done. It's more of a moment that it took us a little bit of time just to reflect on, why did that end up that way? Why did that turn sideways the way it did? And why did we have to use the safe word? I mean, you didn't verbalize the safe word, but I looked at you. I can even tell you exactly what time of day it was, because I looked at you and I looked at the clock and I was like, 10 minutes and we're out of here. We're done. Then you get into the pack up mode of, let's obviously, you know, you want to leave the situation. You don't want to make it a big drama fest. You just want to quietly, thanks, good times, and move on. To me, at least, that was the takeaway there, that you will get into situations. You know, you're in the lifestyle. Come on, it's the law of averages. Finally, you're going to get into a situation that doesn't play to what you're looking for. They're great and wonderful people, but maybe your headspace just gets a little strange. I have horrible ADHD, so of course my brain just starts fluttering off into its never, never land. You guys have all experienced that. So that's where it kind of went.
Do you want to talk through the second one that was safe wordy?
Yeah.
Do you want to share this one?
The second time that we had the safe word was we were actually at the club, and we were actually with a couple. We were with a group, and you guys were a part of that group too. And then there was a couple that we had just met earlier that night. And what had happened was we were having conversations. And once again, let me go back to the ADHD that I have. I kind of drifted off, and I do that. I have a tendency to do that. And I drifted off and started talking with this other couple. And there was nothing really anything crazy about it. It's just that because of the situation, because of the timing of everything, because of the fact that I drifted away, because of the fact that we just didn't have that usual bond. And for those of you that know Echo and I, we do have a very strong bond. If you find me, you're going to find her somewhere in very close proximity. And it just kind of that faded a little bit. And so when we got back together, it was a moment of, we used the safe word because once again, timing, situation, things were just going far off the rails. And if we would continue on, and I think that's the piece that, once again, the learnings that you can take away is, if we would have continued on the way we were, it would have just done more damage. Mm-hmm. And using a safe word, we both can say, whoa, whoa, no harm, no foul, but let's step out of this. Let's get ourselves, let's get our minds straight again and get ourselves back on track to achieving the goals that we have, which is enhancing our bed and enhancing our situation together.
One of the great takeaways there was the idea of being better at checking in.
Yeah.
Because that night was like a weird death by a thousand paper cuts night. It was just, again, just like another, just not able to catch the groove. And it was, we're like, all right, let's play a really crappy game of pool and like, let's go home. I remember like just dying. I was so excited because I had my sweatpants in the car. Like, and I was like waiting for that moment to leave and was ready to go just because it just was a weird night again and getting ready to leave. And I couldn't find you. I was like, where'd Falcon go? Where'd Falcon go? Like, you never leave me. That's not a thing we do. And you left and I couldn't find you. And like, didn't even do like a stupid little circle by myself. And I love doing little walk. There was no penis in the thing. Of course. I couldn't find you. And I fucking hate that feeling of like that powerlessness of like not knowing where you were. And then, he found a couple and he's like having a really great conversation with them. You're just really like me, like sad.
Oh yeah. And again, that's where the timing and the situation.
And then I came over and you're like, oh, hey, how are you? Like, I'm like, hey, I lost you. I was lost. I could not find you. Like, we joke about that. Like, I've got golden retriever vibe, like in a store. So if I lose him, I'm like looking like I can't find him. And then I get all excited when I do find you. Right. And I lost you. That made me sad. Yeah. And so like we had a good learning moment because that was another, like, I have to leave.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely yellow, like in that one.
Yeah.
That, man, I feel like we kept going back and having conversations about that scenario like six times.
Right.
Right. Cause I tend to bring things back up multiple times. That's on me.
Let's dig into that though. What did you bring back up? Basically, what I'm gathering is you were with a group of people. He saw a squirrel, walked over, started talking to said squirrels.
Yep.
And you couldn't find him, walked around, eventually found him. And as you find him, is this when you pull the time to go card?
No. Or? Well, okay. So I first tried to be classy and I grabbed his beverage and was like, do you need another drink? The thought in my head being like, no, like we're getting ready to leave. And instead he goes, no, I'm good. Okay. And I like did another walk because I had to cool down because that was not a very like we there was people there. And again, it had nothing to do with the couple. And I do not like drama. I like us being a quirky couple. I don't want us to be the drama couple. I don't want that. Yeah. So I needed to walk away because I was so frustrated and came back and was annoyed because the love of my life, like you didn't invite me to sit down. Like I very much was like the fourth wheel in that moment. And I'm like, this is what is going on. Like that's, this is not. Yeah. So we had that talk, a lot of the discussion, and honestly took, we talked about it even again, like on the way here, I did not realize until we were driving here that you walked away, not because you were being selfish or disrespectful and just like, I'm going to go over here, but because you squirreled. I didn't realize that. So in my head, I'm thinking you're leaving because you're being disrespectful. And any and all of our hard conversations on my end all relate back to it is never about other people because they're not in our bed. So they could behave as poorly as they want to. That does not affect me. It is like us. It is our bed and is how you are in our relationship, how I am, how I'm behaving. And any issue that I have often relates back to this idea of respect, respect for our marriage, respect for our partnership, respect for our bed. Mm-hmm. And when I'm feeling like there is a lack of respect happening.
Right.
Whereas Falcon, literally echo everything I just said, but insert the word trust. I don't trust him. Oh, I'm, you know, me going and talking to them, do not trust that I, and it has nothing to do with trust. It has everything to do with that you left me and that idea. And so us like coming to head and really may not know this, but if you're in the lifestyle, like you with a partner, you better fucking trust and respect them. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like finding that that is a space that can sometimes be a deficit of ours, even though it's not because we absolutely trust and respect each other. Mm-hmm. We're just dumb sometimes. And I think pride gets in the way.
I think pride gets in the way.
Yeah. So that's been a big part of this evolution because even here's the irony, Nessa, like even though we have safe worded and had these really uncomfortable conversations the past couple of months, right? This is like over a 4 month period. These two things happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel closer to you now than ever before.
No, I totally agree. I think that we shed the right light on it of making it a learning experience and mm-hmm. looking back at it and taking it in a retrospective look of saying, why did you say for it? Why, what caused that to happen? And really dig a little bit deeper into just looking at the causes of it, because you're exactly right. We absolutely, there's respect, there is trust, but sometimes in the lifestyle, everyone knows that sometimes an action can have a different lens on different people. Different people look at it going, wow, I don't know about, you know, but that's what we had to do that to mm-hmm. be able to make it right. And mm-hmm. I think we did.
Now those two speed bumps, mm-hmm. it sounds like there were strong discussions that happened after them.
We like calling them post games.
Yeah.
Any moments where you're like, should we still be doing this? Has this run its course?
Only when we're being really dramatic.
That's it. Like that's when we both look at each other and are like, all right, you've gone over the edge of drama. Come on back.
No, like that's, yeah, no. It's.
I think that's one of the things that when we were talking about this on the podcast is, you have to look at it as those are learnings. Those are moments. That's why you have a safe word. We've always, ever since anybody starts in the lifestyle, the first thing they say is, you know, have a safe word. Absolutely. But the reason why you have that safe word is because there's times where you're going to have to pull the ripcord and it may have nothing to do with anything other than the situation you're in or the place that you're at.
And in both of these situations, we were clothed. And
I was
going to say,
these safe words happened.
It was clunky as fuck. Like to get out of the situation and to have that conversation, like in the car slash that night slash the next day, like it was uncomfortable. So I am actually really thankful that we've had those. I can't even imagine what it would have been like to have a safe word for the first time in a sexual encounter and what that would have looked like. Like, I'm thankful that we've gone through this and popped the cherry this way, and maybe we will be better behaved if we ever have to use it in the future.
I agree.
Because it was clunky as fuck. Because you're right. Like, oh, just make sure you have a safe word and use it whenever and life is good.
Right.
Like, and that's not the case. It is so messy. Mm-hmm. It was messy. Like, it was as clean as it could be, but it was still yucky. And you're right. Like, it was weird because, like, when driving home in both situations, I like was equal parts mortified that it was used and uncomfortable with this tension that was within my relationship, but also so thankful that I could breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a weird, weird space to be in.
Totally.
I could see that.
Do you feel that those moments led to your revelations? That kind of took you off this course where you ran into two struggle moments where things weren't lining up quite where you felt comfortable. And then you relooked at everything and said, this is more of what I'm looking for right now.
I actually think the opposite. I think the moments that made me find myself gave me a voice to say, I don't like this. We need to stop. This isn't good. This doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that that's kind of the sequence.
When you have a clear-cut understanding of exactly what you want and what you're in this for, it makes following your rules, seeing your path through something just so much easier.
100%. I can totally understand when you take that step back and look at, here's what I want now, here's what I'm into, here's what we have evolved to, suddenly it becoming infinitely easier to go, this isn't us right now, let's find something else, let's do something different.
Easier to say no to the things that are throwing you off that path.
I completely agree. Let's get into some of the words that they've made up and use. Brony, for example.
Yes.
We had someone reach out concerned that, wait, is that short for jabroni? No, in fact, it is not. A brony is actually a male fan of My Little Pony, and they use that term
as their explanation for a single man in the lifestyle.
Yes.
But it's one of the wonderful things about the Echo and Falcon that we know and have known since day one. They have made their own vocabulary.
They even coined the term sexpartment.
Exactly. They were the first ones to call it a sexpartment, and it stuck.
Yep.
They were the first ones to say puppy pile.
Yep.
And we jumped on that bandwagon as well. I'm sure other people have called them puppy piles in the past, but it was...
Of our friend group, it was the first time we heard the term puppy pile.
They definitely have their own language, and being their friends, we're privy to that, and I absolutely love it. It's so much fun.
How about the comment about sharing plates and messing up our dinner parties?
Obviously, all of our listeners don't necessarily know when Echo and Falcon go out, but when they are at dinner with us, they always share their meal. It's fantastic for them.
It's usually a salad and an entree.
Right.
And they say, oh, we're just splitting this. And to do so, they never ask for split plates or anything like that. They just sit next to each other and eat off the same plate.
Yep.
A lot of restaurants that we've been to lately have been splitting it for them. Like, oh, look at this.
Or they'll bring an extra plate or something like that. Yeah.
But what we have been trying to do lately is mix up the parties to encourage everybody to talk amongst themselves.
Yep.
You're sitting at one end of the table. I'm sitting at the other. We got Nick here. We got Elizabeth over there. We got Max. We got Megan kind of scattered about. The most recent time that this happened, Echo and Falcon show up late and they're like, oh, crap.
There's not two seats next to each other.
How are we going to share?
They made it work. They worked around it, but I'm sure it kind of threw a little kink in their standard. Then also having to converse without your significant other sitting right next to you. It is a unique situation.
Yes. Falcon's hotel sex. I was so happy to hear that our time in Detroit with them.
Made his top five. Fantasy list. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
You can go back to episode 26 of this season, season 3, and hear the story on that one. Yep. But we did have a fantastic post-concert sex session in a hotel, and you could definitely feel the extra vibe from him on the hotel sex.
It was definitely the first times we had been on a trip and somewhat kind of traveled and did swinging things at the same time.
Yes,
it topped our list as well for things we've done on a trip.
Now, speaking of hotel sex, in the last couple of months, I have actually traveled out of town.
Mm-hmm.
with Tori and gone on to have hotel sex alone with her.
Yes.
A couple of times.
How do you feel about hotel sex?
Honestly, in hotel sex, occasionally I feel the need to tone it down because I don't want to be too loud for the people in the next room and disturb them. Which is exactly the opposite of Falcon, because I know when he's in a hotel, it's not my place, not my problem.
Yeah.
Most recently in New York, when we got to the hotel, as we were walking in the room, the housekeeper was going into the room next door and said hi to us. We went in the room and immediately started fucking. And I will tell you, she was loud as can be. And when we finished, she goes, "I hope the housekeeper heard that." And I said, "I was shooting for that."
Okay.
That was enjoyable. And then one of the nights, it was excessively loud. And she goes, "Do you think the people on the other side of the wall heard it?" I said, "I don't think there would have been a way for them not to." But that was a hotel where it's not really a kid-friendly hotel. The vast majority of the rooms just have one bed. It's very rare to see a kid walking through that hotel. So I'm more comfortable with that scenario than, say, at a Disney hotel where our other trips have been.
But that's kind of strange in my opinion. I would be more self-conscious about having the housekeeper hear me than about having some random other visitor.
The thought going through my head was I was waiting for her to knock on the door to see if we needed anything, because she was very friendly as we were coming in the room. And I was like, how hot would it be to have the housekeeper holding the camera filming this?
Oh, my gosh.
Not going to happen, no. But I thought it was fantastic. But that was one of the thoughts going through my mind at the time.
No, all she's thinking in that other room is, oh my God, these people, I'm going to have to fucking clean up their cum-filled sheets. Wonderful. She's rolling her eyes in the other room.
It could be. Not my problem.
She's like, mental note, when I pick up towels, be careful where I touch.
Yep. I'm always nice to bunch the towels together and make it so that it's just a shower towel on the outside. But somebody still has to transfer.
I would imagine they have to like shake them out and make sure there's nothing like wrapped in there or something like that. I don't know.
I was surprised, number one, that they hadn't really started to push that envelope, because Falcon is traveling a lot. And given that a lot of it is out of the country, that he hasn't taken that opportunity to really push the envelope. But it sounds like she does encourage him to flirt and then come back to the room and have some pillow talk about what could have happened, which I think is still pretty hot.
Echo's point that their boundary is still that they start with each other and end with each other. And therefore, when you're out of town, those two things can't happen. It does put the kibosh on moving forward or having an experience while out of town, which I completely understand. Oh, yeah. And I think that that is something that the couple has to agree on.
Coming back from my last trip with Tori, we did not immediately reconnect.
Me and you.
Yeah. Which to me was a little disappointing. But at the same time, while I was off enjoying the trip and the fun and the sexy time and all that, you were here relaxing and enjoying a nice, quiet, peaceful, not have to worry about anything.
Me time. Yep. Yes. But I'm going to tell you the reason we didn't reconnect immediately that night was because I was exhausted. I was super tired. We had spent the whole evening reconnecting on the more emotional level, mm-hmm. where we talked about the entire time you were gone, what each of us did on our own. I very much enjoyed that emotional connection we shared, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed snuggling with you that night. But my fear was that I don't want you to follow up a trip where you've just had sex with someone else multiple times with just ho-hum sex with me.
I don't think such a thing exists with you, to be clear.
Well, and I don't want it to be ho-hum sex for me either.
It might have been. It was going to be quite rapid, I will tell you that much.
Right. So, you know, I wanted that reconnection sex to kind of have that bang, have that amazingness to it so that it meant something. Okay. That was my justification. And I did really feel super connected with you, mm-hmm. the day you returned. I did feel like we connected
100%
on so many other things throughout the evening before we went to bed. So I don't think anything was lost. I think we did a great job at reconnecting just on different levels.
I do like the fact that they bring it into the bedroom and still talk about it and play out the what ifs.
We've done that with our pillow talk as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Where, you know, a situation either starts off and never finishes, and then, you know, we play out the remainder of it in the bedroom, mm-hmm. in pillow talk and dirty talk. And I hope that a lot of couples do that, because that's fun. That's the game.
Yes. One of those fantasies that we talk about frequently is my multiple partner fantasy for you.
Yes.
We touched on it a bit in the last episode. Mm-hmm. Falcon brought up the point of he's very selfish. His fantasies definitely mostly revolve around him and the things that he does.
Yep.
I don't think that's selfish. I think it's closer to normal. Frequently when I bring up when people ask, what's your fantasy? It's always watching Nessa do this. And you're even like, what about for you? What are your fantasies?
Do you find that you are unique in that your fantasies revolve around me and not yourself? Or do you think that this is common?
I think it is a lot more common than you would think. I think a lot of guys get into the lifestyle for the hot wifing thing. And that typically stems from wanting to see their partner with one. And then when one is not enough, it becomes two or three, or in my case, 5 to 10. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's a lot more common than most. I think Link would very much tell you he has similar fantasies. Mm-hmm. And I can think of a handful of others that would as well. Mm-hmm. The longer you're in the lifestyle, the odds of you having that two girl moment, that three girl moment kind of comes and goes, and it's okay, I've checked, done that. Mm-hmm. And yes, all through high school, sure, there was the fantasy, ooh, me and two chicks, and ooh, me and three chicks would be crazy. I've never had me and four chicks at the exact same time, but I'm down to try. It's just I haven't put a ton of thought into it because I don't know how long that would last. So yes, I think my fantasies are very similar to several others. I think a lot of other guys would say that they have other fantasies too that would include them. Mm-hmm. But I'd give you an opportunity to come up with what a fantasy for me could be that hasn't happened yet.
I feel like in your fantasy world, your fantasy is more of a general overview of an experience. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, you with two girls, you with three girls was on your fantasy list as a, you know, when you're in high school or when you're young, and that's like, whoa, that could never, ever happen kind of thing. When I hear you talk about a fantasy like that, where you're like, yeah, okay, then I had it and it was like, okay, check that off the list. I don't hear very specific scenario. I don't hear like the pizza delivery guy comes to the door and then I seduce him. And whereas most fantasies, from my perspective, usually have a very specific scenario, a very A, B, C, D happens. And all of these things happen in this particular order, and because I want to see this happen and this happen and this happen, and I want to experience from the very beginning to the very end of this. When I talk about the fantasies that I don't want to play out in real life, that is what I'm talking about. It's the very, very specific fantasy that I have thought out from the very beginning of the scenario to the very end, and that I will ruin it because none of the things, you know, or even half of the things will not play out the way they play out in my fantasy world. In real life, it just doesn't happen that way. It doesn't exist. I mean, unless we were to hire the perfect swinger actor and, you know, they could follow through on all of the things. When I talk about not wanting to fulfill a fantasy because I want to keep it in fantasy world, that's the type of fantasy I talk about. So like in your case where you're like, ah, yeah, I mean, I was with two girls and I checked that box. To me, that's not a fantasy. To me, that's just a
An experience, if you will.
Yeah, it's just an experience. It's well, just, you're I not mean, thinking
right now,
that.
I have a fantasy for your gangbang that I have down to the minute, if not second, planned out accordingly and know I can control it in such a way that it would 100% play out the way that I see it.
And what role do you play in that?
The facilitator.
Okay.
Basically, I become the director, and exactly what I intend to see happen plays out exactly as I want it to.
What about it with me being in the female role is the turn on to you?
You are my favorite porn star, and I am creating what I think would be the absolute best porn that I would personally enjoy for the rest of my life.
But if you were to take me out of the female role and put another female in that same position, it fulfills all of the other markers in your fantasy of exactly how it's supposed to play out.
But it's not you.
But it's not me.
And it just becomes just another person doing something that I think is hot.
But mentally, you can't put me in that position and just...
Well, if that was the case, then no guy would ever have a fantasy about their partner. They would just watch some random video of some random person doing something else. Who fucking cares at that point? There's a reason why every single or 99% of the porn that I watch is starring you.
To me, I don't understand the turn on. If I have a fantasy and something's happening to me, I'm thinking about feelings that I'm feeling, the ways that I'm being turned on.
But in watching you do this, I am feeling those feelings and I am being turned on.
In what way?
The excitement of seeing, I mean, literally every time I watch you with another guy, I get very turned on, very hard, hold back, edge to no end. We have also had several moments where you were very much enjoying it and then couldn't believe you did that later.
Mm-hmm.
The Nancy and Loudon snowballing.
Yeah.
One of your favorite moments where you were with the two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back now, one of your favorite moments, the day of, you absolutely loved it. The day after, you had a real internal struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, early on in the lifestyle when it seemed we had a very big experience, it was typically followed up by 3 days of me regretting every last moment of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering, why am I doing this? Why did I do this? Why I feel so shameful? I feel this isn't right. It's going against everything I learned growing up. And so it was a lot of unlearning, deprocessing all of the things that were foundational for me mm-hmm. as a young adult, as a teenager. All the things that had been drilled in me for many, many years that I truly believed. I never questioned them. I never questioned that a marriage should be monogamous. I never questioned that a woman should be less promiscuous and more innocent, and sluttiness is dirty and wrong, and enjoying sex is wrong. It's for procreation. It's not for pleasure. And just all of those things that over such a long period of time, I never questioned. I just truly followed and believed, and that was that. And now here I am in my 30s, questioning everything I learned growing up, questioning all of the beliefs that I had held true for a long time. So yeah, it was a lot of figuring out what I believed, what I knew to be true, how I felt in those moments, what that meant. Was it dirty? Was it wrong? Was I hurting people? Unpacking all of that and figuring out exactly where those feelings of regret and shame were coming from.
You said something very interesting. You said at the beginning of our lifestyle journey.
Yes.
That got me thinking, after your moments at Naughty,
mm-hmm.
be it in the dark room, be it in the plus one room, be it in the plus one room the other time, I really didn't notice any of those moments for you.
No, I don't.
Was that more the location?
No, I just think it's a time thing. Yeah, I think it's just as Echo said, clarifying the exactness of what I want from the lifestyle and what I get from the lifestyle and what it means to me to be in the lifestyle is part of that deprocessing of what the world tells us and what I believe and what I know is true. I have more of a clear, precise idea of what I like and what I don't like, and therefore the shame and the regret just don't seem to follow as much anymore. You mentioned that I was surprised by the fact that I was kind of so dirty in the whole Nancy and Loudon exchange mm-hmm. with the snowball comment. Have you found yourself in any positions where you were surprised by something that turned you on?
I have had a handful of moments with anal play, be it a tongue or a finger, that I was like, oh, wow, this is doing something for me. All right, let's go. So that has been a surprise. I will say, dating back to the very beginning of my lifestyle journey, I was very surprised of the idea that I liked. Prior to that, I had always been a very jealous. Now, mind you, I cheated like crazy and was like, don't you dare cheat on me. That's what? But mm-hmm. at the same time, I was actively doing it. But for some reason at that moment, it just clicked for me. And yeah, that was a surprise. I would say, yeah, I've frequently been surprised by things that have happened that I've gone, oh, okay, that wasn't on the list before, but now it is. I will say that our solo play, not specifically for you, but for me, again, sex for me really hasn't been at the top of my list because of my enjoyment watching you do things. But I have found my solo interactions with a handful of different women to be enjoyable. I was surprised to enjoy that as much as I have and welcome more of it.
Why are you surprised by that? Because I feel like that would be kind of a normal, yeah, I got alone time with a female and it was, I mean, I guess I wouldn't consider that to be surprising?
For me, in the past, most of those alone time moments were just with my partner. I can think of two different women that I played alone with, and they were very regular partners. One, my first partner didn't want anything to do with her husband, so she was like, if you enjoy her, go ahead, go do that. And the other was a unicorn that she and I played with a lot, and we played with so much that she's like, yeah, go ahead and play with her whenever you want on your own. And both of those were enjoyable. But past those two, I didn't have any alone moments. I guess I have enjoyed those. It just hasn't been my focus. But back then I enjoyed that, ooh, get here, come give it to me. Someone calling me saying, I need you to come fuck me. Are there other things that you were surprised that you enjoyed besides just the snowball thing?
The surprise was always more, I thought I enjoyed that with you, but I was surprised I enjoyed it with somebody else. Like, it wasn't some new experience. Say somebody pulled my hair during sex. It was like, oh, I'm surprised I liked it when he did that, because that's something that I enjoy when I know I have a trustworthy.
You're surprised it's an action that you enjoy, not just...
Right.
Moment that we share.
Well, it's like, I know I like my hair being pulled, but that doesn't mean everybody pulls my hair and I'm turned on. Mm-hmm. It just means that if I'm feeling the situation, if I'm feeling you, then it works.
I think you were also very surprised at certain female interactions that you've enjoyed.
Oh, well, that's true. The female interactions where I connected on a whole different level with the other female involved blew my mind, because while I enjoy like a girl-on-girl playtime, I had a girl-on-girl playtime that reached a whole another connection. I've had that interaction of connecting with a few females on that extra level now, and each time it just shocked me to know that that was a possibility.
I will say I could feel it in the moment where you got lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that was incredibly hot. Like, I knew there was no place for me in that moment.
And I would have never guessed that going into any of those experiences that that would have been the case. And I think that was the mind-blowing part of it, was that, you know, it was like a bubble. It was me and this other female. You know, the rest of the world didn't even exist. I think it surprised me because I didn't think that could happen with another female. While mm-hmm. I enjoyed females, I enjoy touching them, I enjoy the interaction with females, everything's so soft, it's very different than interacting with a male, that I just always discounted the emotional connection mm-hmm. with a female. I guess I just assumed that, yeah, it's great, it's okay. But having had now a few females where we emotionally connected, like our auras kind of combined or something. Like, wasn't it? It was just, it's strange. It's just to have these experiences, that's what was so shocking.
What is always enjoyable to me is when there are other people besides that female's partner in the room
mm-hmm.
that stop what they're doing, turn and go, oh, wow. They see that connection that just head and shoulders above a typical. Like, whoa, what's happening there? You don't see that kind of passion between people normally in this. And it's always fun to just watch other people just stop what they're doing and just turn and take it in. Let's jump into safe words. We have now been to a handful of house parties that have ventured off where people break off into separate rooms
mm-hmm.
and you have gone off to experience play yourself in different rooms without me there.
Yes.
Every time I have approached the door and kind of peeked in for a little while, I have frequently backed off, let things get started. And when I start hearing you from another room, sneak over
back.
Or I'll talk to somebody going, oh, you hear that? And 9 times out of 10, they go, I sure do. And they head that way. And then I'm like, well, fuck, if they're watching, I'm watching. The house party aspect has opened that window for us to start exploring that solo play aspect. And while it's not a always on the menu thing, if you will, it has expanded our menu.
For sure. It's difficult with house parties. It greatly depends on the group of people that you have and their comfort with playing out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the next trouble of, well, where are we allowed to play in the open? Because maybe some people don't want their brand new couch to be fucked on.
Yeah.
maybe they have set up rooms specifically for playtime and that's where they want you to play. And not every room has enough space for a bunch of voyeurs to stand around and watch.
Because of house parties, it's kind of open day, whatever feels right at the moment attitude.
Well, and we have that benefit of that not being a boundary in our relationship. But when that is a boundary, we see with Echo and Falcon that now they have to be very particular on maybe the house parties that they're choosing or looking at the guest list and trying to determine.
They were 100% unaware that this group of people
broke
played
off
that
like
way.
That.
They were like, oh, we've all fucked together. So of course, it's just going to be one orgy and we're good.
Right.
This was also before they opened that menu item recently.
Right.
Now I'm curious how that house party would interact for them. But both this and their second safe word use happened before they actually started the play. The fact that they used their safe word at the first party before she decided, okay, well, we're at a party. We know all these people. They're all playing separately. We haven't played separately or even talked about playing separately. I'll just go try it and see how it goes. And then end up back in a room with somebody all by herself only to discover, oh shit, I don't like this. I don't need to be in here. And now she can't A, pull her safe word with this person. She just has to go, please stop. I'm not comfortable right now.
Right.
Or walk out of that room after doing something she wasn't uncomfortable was after doing something she was uncomfortable with and going, Falcon, time to go. Let's go. I didn't enjoy that. I don't want to do this again. Let's go.
Or
if he ends up in a room and she's waiting, and has to get up and open the door and say what their safe word is and then close the door behind her in hopes that he can find a way to get out of that. And then they have to pack their shit and get in their car as quickly as possible to have the discussion of what the fuck just happened. Why did you just come in that room and pull that card? For them, instead, well, it wasn't technically their safe word. She had the body language that was very clear to Falcon.
It's time.
We're not going to be here much longer. It's time to get out of here.
Yeah.
They politely gathered their stuff, said goodbyes, left, and then got in the car to have that discussion, as opposed to those couples that might have a bit too much to drink and decide to start having that discussion off in the corner where they think no one can hear them yelling at each other or talking in a loud whisper to each other that everyone can hear.
Or one stomps off to the car and the other one's gathering the things like really quick, trying to like make it not known.
Yeah, where'd she go?
And, she's just tired.
Yeah, she had a phone call.
But then comes the drive home, because now Echo's got the relief moment of being out of a situation she felt uncomfortable in and didn't necessarily even want to be in. And then you have that moment where you're getting in the car and, oh, you have this relief, but you also realize that you've let your partner down. So now you're fighting with those two emotions of having this full-on relief, but now you're also feeling a bit guilty or bummed that you've let your partner down or that you're the one bringing the evening down.
And especially for them, they are very emotional and their connection is just so deep that those intense moments have to be incredibly difficult for them.
I agree.
Their second moment happened when Falcon kind of broke off from the group and just wandered off and started talking to another couple. You and I, when we're at the club, we are pretty much side by side through the entire time. Like there will even be times where like, oh, I need a drink. Let's go to the bar because I have to pee while you go get me a drink kind of thing.
Yeah.
Very rare occasions. You will tell me we're back here talking to this group of people. I'm thirsty. Can you go get me a drink?
Right.
The only times I actually leave you are when I'm like, all right, you are with this group here. I am blooping you here and I will be right back. There have been a couple occasions where a friend has said, hey, I need to talk to somebody real quick, pulled me off into the other room and I'd be like, hey, I'll be right back. But at that point, I'm leaving you with this group that I know you're here.
Right.
There have been one or two occasions where that conversation has extended for a longer period of time that you've been like, where the fuck did he go? But I come back and go, yeah, I had a little talk here. And you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. But I've never been in the situation where I've had to go searching for you, where it was always, I had enough social interaction to keep me entertained until you got back. Sure, I'd raise an eyebrow at how long it was taking you to get back at times, but I still maintained some entertainment from the people around me until you got back. Now, if it got to the point where the people I was talking to wrapped up the conversation and went on their way and it left me on my own to now have to go walking around searching for you, I would struggle.
Yeah.
to not get mad at you at that point, because there is something really difficult for me to walk around a sex club alone.
We have seen many people walking around looking for their partner, and there is definitely a look of, wait, where the fuck did my other person go?
Yeah.
Occasionally, there will be moments where I see one person of a couple I know walk by, and I am prepared at that point. If I see their partner come by going, hey, have you seen so-and-so? I go, oh, yeah, just went that way. Mm-hmm. I'm prepared to go, hey,
yep.
I can calm your nerves a little bit. They're over there.
Yeah.
I can think of two occasions where you went to go to the bathroom and were gone much longer than a typical bathroom time, that I'm standing there having that conversation going, okay, well, where'd she go? And in all honesty, in my head, I'm going, ooh, I hope there's a good story with this.
Yeah.
So it's not a, where'd she go? It's a, where'd she go? And both of those times, it was, in fact, where'd she go? Because something happened while you were gone.
Even if I were walking around looking for you, I'm not mad. I'm not thinking you're off doing up to no good or hiding something from me. I'm just mad that you've not thought about me in a certain amount of time to come and find me. I've recently sat down and had a conversation with my daughter about times where she may be in front of her friends asking me to allow her to do something with said friend, but she doesn't truly want to. She's just kind of in this rock and a hard place where
the friend said, hey, I want to come to your house.
Yeah, we got to do this, or you got to come over and you spend the night. And my daughter doesn't want to. I have given her a safe word to use with me to indicate that she does not want to go to this friend's house, but she's going to politely ask me in front of her friend so that it appears as though she does. And then, mom, you be the bad guy. And I've told her 100 times, I will be the bad guy whenever you need me to be the bad guy. If you need to get out of a situation, here is the word you use. You tell me this, and I know immediately you want out, but they don't know any different. Because I think we've all been in a situation where you don't want to let somebody else down. You want to be nice. You don't want to hurt feelings, but you also know for the good of whatever the situation is, you don't want to be a part of it either.
In that early adolescent, very fragile atmosphere, you don't want to be the person going, yeah, no, I really don't want to go to your house.
Right.
Because that could have a ripple effect down the line of all the friend group or whatever.
Sure. The reason that I want her to have the words to use with me and maybe have an out is that there may be scenarios where using her words is going to make it worse, where I can at this time be the bad guy, be the savior, and help her through a situation. It also opens up that conversation to have with her down the line as well. She gets home, hey, why did you want out of this situation? What was happening? And now I have a whole way to talk her through that. And as she's young now, it's great. I can give her the words to be able to say in the future. This episode is very heavy.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this for sure.
Echo felt that bringing up the safe word conversation was going to bring the mood down and wasn't the typical sexy conversation. And we knew going into that using the safe word does not bring the sexy. However, if there is a light at the end of the tunnel, if there is something to highlight about this entire episode, is something Echo said at the end, and it was that using the safe word has brought their relationship closer, has made their relationship so close. They've had very specific conversations about when they use their safe word, about why they use their safe word, and now they have that very defined line of, okay, when we're feeling uncomfortable, I can trust that my partner is going to respect my safe word and help me to leave the situation or help me to discuss the situation, and we can get through this. We will get past this. This is something that while it's uncomfortable, I have support. I have my partner with me here supporting me no matter what. And I love that.
And even though in the moment it sounded like there was a bit of frustration on one or both of their parts, it encouraged the discussion of what happened. And that is what brought them closer and allowed them to discuss, what are we open to? it opened the doors for her to discover, hey, maybe I'm not as submissive as I thought I was. Maybe I want a little bit more control in this situation. Maybe I see this guy that I'm really interested in, and it doesn't have to be a four-way connection. It doesn't have to be a puppy pile. I can say, hey, let me get a little sprinkle of this, and then I'll be right back to connect us again. Mm-hmm. I think that has opened a whole new, like they say, 1,000 of their 5,000 fantasies that have now been unlocked.
Yes.
And ready for exploration.
The list is never ending.
Not for them, no. It's every time we talk to them, they have something new and exciting
They've added
to try.
More.
Thanks for joining us for a Hump Day Quickie.
We hope this brought you some midweek excitement.
If you have your own confession you'd like to share with us and our audience,
please call 844-4-HUMP-DAY and leave us a message.
Can't wait to hear your sexy stories.
It's just how the evening unfolds. And it's not a plan. It's not something I'm going into because I'm like, ooh, I'm so excited to have five guys tonight. I mean, I like their burgers, but...